Praise the Lord. We believe this with all our hearts. We are not going to be saved. We have already been saved when our Savior gave His blood and life on the cross of Calvary. We are grateful for all the grace, grateful for every word that God revealed to us, grateful for all the blessings, grateful for every brother, for every sister, for all those who dedicate their lives to God fully at this time, not just halfway, not just running along a little, but putting their hearts into it, who know what it is all about, and who have a goal in mind. God's word will certainly accomplish also in this time for what it was sent for. It cannot return void. It will accomplish for what God has sent it for. You know, at this weekend, we hardly expected visitors. I didn't know myself if I would be here. But it has become customary for me to be here on the first Sunday and in Zurich on the last. Until the Lord directs it otherwise, we will stand by what we have promised. We are not worthy of it, what God has done for us, let alone the portion He has assigned to us by the preaching of His wonderful word. Not only, as our brother said, to believe, but to know, to have it revealed by God in conformity with the word, that here not the words of men, but God's word is proclaimed, that not opinions of men are propagated, but God speaks to us through His word. And that's why we know in whom we believe. We also know what we believe. And here Brother Branham said in a sermon, recognize the day and the message. He who does not recognize the day of God's gracious visitation will also not recognize the message. He will bypass it. But God has been gracious to us. He let us know His ways and will let us know His doings. For it is written of Moses and the people of Israel, He let Moses know His ways and the children of Israel His doings. It doesn't just remain that God lets us know His ways. God then also wants us to know His doings by confirming His word. If we remember Him on His ways, then He will do it. What we have need of, I in particular, is the grace to wait patiently until God's hour comes and the work approaches its completion and can be carried out. You all know, when we think about that the whole world must be covered by this proclamation, then we realize that it will not be just a little here and a few there, but God will still bring in a rich harvest. I myself am very grateful for the turnaround in the Soviet Union. I can say that quite openly. And if I ever have wished one person on earth well and success from the bottom of my heart, then it is my friend Mikhail Gorbachev. May God truly bless him. And you can imagine, when such a man openly declares that what Stalin did to the Christians was terrible, and that he now wants to ensure by law that everyone can freely express their opinion and believe what they want to believe. This is a turnaround that we would never have dreamed of a few years ago. But we notice that the time is short, for the gospel must be preached to all peoples, tongues and nations. And believe me, especially in those countries where freedom did not exist, there they will breathe a sigh of relief and flock together in great multitudes to hear the true word of God. And this is then also our time. God himself even directs the political conditions in such a way that they fit into the divine plan. They have to correspond to what God has decided in his plan of salvation. And therefore, all these things. Today it was in the news that they fear that he will not persevere. But we trust God that all things will be according to his will. In this psalm, it was read to us, Psalms 34, O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. What more shall we do than to glorify his name, which he has so gloriously revealed to us? Also here, it is not only the faith, but the revelation of what we believe, a divine knowledge of salvation. You can read it in the prayer of Zechariah, that the people of God should have knowledge of salvation, a divine knowledge. In verse 8 it says here, the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivers them. O taste and see that the Lord is good. We shall taste, we shall see how good the Lord is. Not only hear, not only having an object lesson, we are to experience God. Taste and see how the Lord is good. Fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. We can say the same. Then we read Psalms 33, verse 6 to 9. It says, by the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. He gathereth the waters of the sea together as an heap. He layeth up the depth in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. And after that, perhaps what Brother Maynard wanted to say is in verse 10, the Lord bringeth the counsel of the heathen to naught. He maketh the devices of the people of none effect. The counsel of the Lord standeth forever, the thoughts of his heart to all generations. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he has chosen for his own inheritance. And we may confess with all our heart, the Lord is God, the Lord is our God. Blessed is the people whose God is the Lord. And we confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord. And when we say that, then we mean he is God, because the Lord is God, and God is the Lord. The counsel of the Lord standeth forever, the thoughts of his heart to all generations. Whatever God has purposed to do, he carries it out. His counsel stands forever, and the thoughts of his heart to all generations. Let us be included as the people of his own inheritance, and let us also accept this admonition, which sounds almost like a beatitude. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he has chosen for his own inheritance. We are his possession. We cannot change it. He has paid the price. We no longer belong to ourselves. We are his. And this is not just a thing that we believe, but something we know. His Spirit bears witness to our spirit that we have become children of God. We didn't talk ourselves into that. There was a blessed moment in our lives, a glorious hour in our life, in which, I call it, in which we broke through, penetrating into the presence of God and having had an experience with him, and where his Spirit bore witness to our spirit that we have become children of God. Not just faith alone, but the experience which we had with God. It is just part of it. It says, he gathereth the waters of the sea together as an heap. Has he done it? When he led the people of Israel through the Red Sea, there he piled up the waters on their right and left side like a heap. Even the human mind stands still and wonders, how is this possible? After all, water is water, and this you cannot form so tightly. God can form water like a cement wall. He is God, and he even doesn't need to make any effort at all. He speaks a word, and it is there. He commanded, and it stood fast. It was so as he said it, and it is the same to this day. The word of our God is an almighty word. I can rejoice that God has done such mighty deeds among his people. And not only that he has done them, he is still the same today. For that's how it is written here on top, and also in Hebrews 13, verse 8. And that's how we want to experience it anew. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. To this, I would like to read from the prophet Isaiah. From the prophet Isaiah. Chapter 48, from verse 20. Isaiah 48, from verse 20. Go ye forth of Babylon, flee ye from the Chaldeans. With a voice of singing, declare ye, tell this, utter it even to the end of the earth. Say ye, the Lord has redeemed his servant Jacob. And they thirsted not when he led them through the deserts. He caused the waters to flow out of the rock for them. He clave the rock also, and the waters gushed out. Then addressed to the wicked, it says, "There is no peace, saith the Lord, unto the wicked." It is a law of God that the man who is born in sins is not fit for anything good. But when we have experienced peace with God, then we have become peacemakers. He has redeemed His people. He fed them. He gave them to drink. He has split the rock and caused water to gush forth. Paul elaborates it further in 1 Corinthians 10 and speaks about in what way the Lord has led His people. Why are these things written? To let us know that God cares for His own. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 from verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea. And were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual food, and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. What a wonderful word! Rock of ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. Let the water and the blood from thy riven side which flowed. You all know this wonderful hymn. A spiritual rock that accompanied them, and that rock was Christ. Yesterday, we touched briefly on Matthew 16, when the Lord said to Peter, "Thou art Peter, and on this rock, not on you, but on this rock, on the divine revelation of Jesus Christ, this New Testament church has been founded, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." And you will probably see this with your own eyes, that the enemy will indeed overcome everything by religious deception that does not have the revelation of Jesus Christ. I don't know, that didn't quite seem to hit home. Maybe you want me to make it a little clearer. You will witness it, or we have already witnessed it to a large extent, that all who do not know what it is all about now and have not accepted the revealed word, they are already bundled in the World Council of Churches. More than 300 Christian groups, churches, and denominations, and thus they are led to the slaughter, overcome by the enemy. So when the Lord Jesus says that He will build His church upon this divine rock, upon the revelation, and that the gates of hell will not prevail against it, then we have to look at it from both sides and see that everything is overcome by hell that has not been snatched or will not be snatched from hell and destruction by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Have we understood this? Sometimes it seems to me as if we are underestimating what God has given us. And there is a lack of gratitude to the Lord who has spoken to us so faithfully and kept us in His Word. You can believe me, everything will be carried away, but the Church of the Living God will stand firm because it is built upon the revelation of Jesus Christ. And right that has become a stumbling block to everyone else, has become a blessing to us. Amen. All are stumbling against the stone that has become the chief cornerstone, and they stumble being disobedient to the word. Thanks be to the Lord that we, being obedient to the word, that we didn't stumble, but that we have been lifted up. To us the Lord didn't become a stumbling block, and not a stone of offense, or a rock of offense, but to the precious cornerstone that is at the same time the capstone, who began the work and who will also finish it. But this would probably have to be said again. Everything that is not by divine revelation put into the church and becomes a part, a member in the body of Jesus Christ and submits to the head, will with all religious entertainment walk on the broad way to destruction, and the enemy will carry away everything that has not been built upon the holy foundation of faith. And please believe me, after all, it's the time when people have to make their decision. And here I think on the sermon of Brother Branham, the mark of the beast. And he says, you will either have the seal of God or the mark of the beast. There will be no more neutrality. And that is already the case today. It will not still come. The people are already marked. They made their decision. Blessed is the man. Blessed are you. Blessed am I. If we have made the right decision and have placed ourselves on the side of God, having simply agreed with God. But the prophet Isaiah cries out, who believes our report, and to whom was the arm of the Lord revealed? Yesterday, I still read in a religious magazine, and they want to make the subject of Christ is Lord known to the whole world in a special conference without knowing what they want to say with it. Would we come with the revelation of the Word and the Spirit and would say, dear friends, do you even know what you are saying here or what subject you have said here? It is so easy to say, Jesus is Lord, and yet not knowing what issue it even is. I attended a convention with two other brothers. There it was written on the badge, which we all had to wear, Jesus is Lord. Of course, it's a slogan for these days, Jesus is Lord. What does that say? Would we have the people here today? I tell you, we would not trust our eyes and ears when they would make us clear what they mean by it. Thanks be therefore to the living God who has given us the revelation. When we say, Jesus is Lord, then we mean He's God, besides from whom there is no other. There is no great God and a little Lord. There is a Lord who is at the same time the Almighty God, He who was and who is to come. Also for this, we are grateful to our God. Let us come to 2 Timothy 1, and then we will go to Romans 10, the word that our beloved brother read here. 2 Timothy 1, from verse 12. For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. I don't want to add anything to the word here, only to emphasize it. He will not only keep us, the goods entrusted to us, He will also keep you and me in the hour of temptation, which must come upon the whole world and is already here. He will keep us together with what He has entrusted to us until that day, the glorious day of His return. I believe that with all my heart and with all my soul. But it's nice that there were people before us who saw and experienced it in the same way. How wonderful that we have a possibility of comparison, that we can check whether we are on the right way. For there is a way that seems right to the people and yet leads to destruction. And then there is a way that leads to life, and there are only a few who walk on it. I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day. He has the overall view. He could say, all power is given to me in heaven and on earth. He could say, no one can pluck them out of my hand. We are engraved in the palms of His hands. He carries us. He keeps us. He is with us. In Romans, in chapter 10, Paul expressed similar thoughts. We read from verse 1, before we then come to verse 8, and also verse 11, and verse 13, everywhere are wonderful thoughts expressed. Romans chapter 10, from verse 1. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. If we want to go to the conversion of a soul of Tarsus and hear what he said later, I have been zealous for the faith of my fathers, but he was zealous in ignorance, not in the right knowledge of God, but because of traditions which he had in him. I have often thought about it, and I said it here before. What must have been going on in Paul's mind after the Lord revealed himself to him, and then he remembered during the time when the most powerful work of God was taking place on earth, that this, I call him now, poor man, sat at the feet of a Gamaliel to absorb that knowledge. And later on, he had to say that he had considered all this as dung for the sake of the knowledge of God. Here, he says of the Jews, "For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to the right knowledge." We do not want to exalt ourselves here. Also this our beloved brother already emphasized. The people strive so much. Great evangelistic campaigns. And the people just change their seats or go from one denomination into the other. Lift up their hands here and jubilate there. And in the end was nothing but wind. There was no new birth because there was no divine seed. And the prophet Isaiah says, "We had birth pains, and when you gave birth, it was wind." What will be left of everything if there is no divine seed sown that is necessary for a new birth? And this is really a serious and hard speech. Does anyone want to tell me that just because the wind blows or rain falls, there will be a birth? No, there must be a union, there must be a seed. And if the divine seed of the word is not there, how will people come to be born again? They can have the slogan, "Are you born again?" But that is all, born again by the eternal seed of the word of God. Many will say, "Lord, Lord," and think by it they will enter the kingdom of God. And it will not be possible unless someone is born again. Otherwise, he cannot see the kingdom of God. He can be zealous for the kingdom of God. He can do everything he can, but he himself will not see the kingdom of God. And if a man is born again, then he is born of the Word and the Spirit of God. And he has then, by the Word and the Spirit, the connection to the Word by the Spirit, and will receive and believe from his heart what God has said. For God cannot be at odds with himself or against himself. If we are born of God, then we have the connection through the Spirit to the Word, which is the seed. And if that is not there, if people resist the Word, then something is wrong. Then it's another spirit. Then there are other things that have only been whitewashed, where the Spirit of God can really do the work. And the Word of God is there. There the people are brought in connection with God, and they hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. After all, God can only work in one way, and that is according to his Word. Otherwise, we would not be able to determine that it's biblical what is happening now. "For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to the right knowledge." We could now look up many scriptures to elaborate on this thought. Let us continue reading verse 3. "For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. He that is found in his own works is not in the work of God. He that is found in his own righteousness has not entered into God's righteousness." the seal is of no use unless it is biblical. I read now from verse 8 in the same chapter, Romans 10 from verse 8. But what saith it, the scripture? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. Everything has been set and placed upon the foundation of faith, but on the biblical foundation of faith. I think I said it here last night. When Khomeini speaks, then he says, I speak to the believers. And no matter who speaks where, they all speak to the believers. And in the end, the question must be asked, does the whole world believe? Or what is actually going on? From the Bible's point of view, only those are believers who believe as Abraham believed, namely those who believe the promise that God has given with all their heart and did what he was commanded to do, and thus walking on the way of God and seeing the promise fulfilled. Who is a believer today? All who call themselves believers? We could really go from one church to the other, and all are believers. You won't find in any church or denomination unbelieving people. All are believers. When the Sunday comes, they are all there. They are all believers. But who believes, as the scripture says? Who believes the promises that God has given? Who really believes? And that is what matters now. Not just to believe something, but to stand up and contend for the faith that has been given once for all to the saints. And the saints, whether they were prophets or the people of God, whoever they were, they believed not the interpretations, but the word of God with all their heart. Here it is written, that is the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. We could go here to the Old Testament, to the prophet Joel, where it is written, all who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And there is of course written the name Yahweh. Those who call upon him, from Yahweh became Yahshua, Yahweh Savior. All who call on the Lord, who have understood that the Yahweh of the Old Testament has become the Yahshua of the New Testament, always the same, yesterday, today, and forever. In the Old Testament, in a spirit body. In the New Testament, in the body of flesh. But always the same. I hope we understand that. In verse 11 it says, for the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Amen. No one who puts his trust in him will be put to shame. When a man is put to shame, then he did not put his trust in the Lord. There are people who say, huh, that one became a stumbling block to me, and this one also. And then they have the excuses in both pockets, right and left. There is no excuse for a true believer. For a true believer, there's only one thing, to look away from oneself and from all men, and to look to the Lord, in faith, to receive and accept what God offers and presents to us, and to walk forward until we all come from believing unto seeing, being convinced, according to the word we just read, I know in whom I believe, and that he is able to keep the goods entrusted to me until that day. Do you all believe this? He is able, and he will do it. It continues here from verse 13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things." We have a glad and blessed message that knows how to tell of good tidings. And we rejoice that God has given us this right by grace, not just to participate in any proclamation that goes in any direction, but to really have become a part of the proclamation for these days. We emphasize it and say it again and again. Even today, it must be believed, as the Scripture has said. He who wants to stand his ground before God must believe according to the Word of God. He cannot believe what he likes and then think to get saved. There is only one way, only one truth, only one life. And all this is Jesus Christ, our Lord. Blessed are we when we are ready for it, to put everything aside and to really get serious and say, "O God, help me. Help me. I can't do it myself. Be merciful to me. Let me walk in your ways and remember you and take me by the hand." The times in which we live are becoming more and more serious, and we are getting closer and closer to the coming of the Lord. But on the other hand, we also see the political and other things. You most surely also heard of it. The European Union must be pushed forward. The European Central Bank must be set up. Everything has to take its course. And we see how the beast that was and is no more and will be again, how it comes forth, how this old Roman Empire is breaking through and arises before our very eyes, and how the old whore rides this beast and has the reins in her hands. We see all this, and then we know that we have a responsibility to bring the message of this hour to the people and to proclaim it into all the world. "Ye, my people, come out, be ye separate, and touch not the unclean thing. Be ye clean that bear the vessels of the Lord." Where do you hear this message today? Come out. All say, "Come in. There's room for all. Come in. Here's room for all." No, there's a divine message. And there is not room for all, but room for the people of God. There is a rest for the people of God. A way is prepared for the people of God. And for that, we are again thankful. We have no place anywhere in this world, also not in the religious world. We have no place there. One wouldn't even know how to classify us. We are the ones who have to come out before the camp. Just be honest now. When you are asked somewhere, "To which church do you belong?" then every one of us stutters, even if the language is otherwise so fluent. Who wants to explain that? Someone asks you, Now please tell me, to which church do you belong? Yes. And then nothing comes at first. And then maybe some chopped up words, and we say it's not so easy to explain it. And the more we want to explain, the further away we get from what we try to explain. And in the end, yes, what do we say in the end? That we belong to the Church of the Living God. And then they say, oh, you must have a name. This church must have a name. And you all know these conversations from your workplace or wherever you meet people. We cannot be classified here. Just as the people of Israel cannot be classified. And you notice very clearly, God had chosen a people as a people here on earth, the people of Israel. And what was with them? It is written, they went from one kingdom to another, and to another people, and they wandered from here to there, dwelling in tents, like Abraham, and said, we have no place here on earth to abide. He was seeking for the city to come. No people could place Israel. They say, what kind of people are they? And this until today. We don't want to say anything political here. But it is strange to us that no other country is somehow mentioned by name that occupies territories of other peoples, whether since the First World War or since the Second or whatever. Only one country is used as a buffer and is always severely criticized, and it always says the occupied territories. I see it the other way around than the politicians see it. I mean that the land belongs to the people of Israel. And if there was an occupation, then others have occupied it, but not Israel. It legally belongs to the people of Israel. God has determined the borders. But it probably has to be that way, so that the word from the prophet Zechariah is fulfilled, that Jerusalem will be made a burdensome stone for all nations, and all those who want to lift this stone will have then their fingers cut in pieces. But we just mentioned this to make the comparison between the people of Israel and the Church of the Living God. Where could Paul be classified after his conversion? Agrippa says, about you we have heard so much, namely that you belong to this special group, which is called a sect, and so forth. Did you all read this in the book of Acts? He was so nicely classified before. He says, I was a Pharisee of the Pharisees, and I have this and I have that. And afterwards, he says, we have become an oddball for all. He didn't fit anywhere anymore. Not with the Pharisees, not with the Sadducees, nowhere. But God had placed him in the right place. And there he found the task ordained for him by God. I think here of our beloved brother Branham. He was ordained by Dr. Roy Davis and also baptized by him. And this young William Branham, who was baptized at that time in this still relatively free Baptist church, he said to Mr. Davis, I want to be baptized by you, but listen closely how I want to be baptized by you. Namely, according to the apostolic pattern, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the man nodded, and then he did it. But you know what? When this same man then heard what God was going to do with this man whom he baptized biblically, then he called him to him and said, you, with your little education, you want to tell me that people will come to hear you? I can tell you already today to whom you will preach. namely to the posts that are in the tabernacle, but not to the people. And then Brother Branham said, Mr. Davis, all respect to what you say, but if God has called and sent me, then he will call and send the people to whom I will preach. But from that day on, this man could no more be placed anywhere. He went out with quite a hurry, out from this club in which he had been for a very short time, perhaps only to be ordained as a preacher, as it is customary in the English-speaking countries, that the pastor or the preacher is at the same time the registrar. Brother Branham has acted many times as a registrar and has documented the marriages and consecrated them as a man would do it here in the registry office. But what did I want to say? I wanted to say the following. There was a day in the life of all men of God when they were no longer in the place where they have been before. A new phase of life began. A new phase, a new task, a new sphere of activity. And we could go into church history. A Martin Luther had his place and went up the stairs there at St. Peter's. And suddenly he had no more place there. No more place. He was outside. But God sent him the people who should hear the word. You can go to all the others, to John Wesley in the Anglican Church, and who they were, Moody and Finney, and so forth. Or one could mention many. Suddenly, they had no business where they had been before. God took them and appointed them to a very specific task in their time. We can say the same, not in arrogance, as we said before, but just be honest. We all had our place here or there, and suddenly we felt the call of God. And we have understood that our place is in that which is our Father's. Just as Jesus Christ said at that time, must I not be in my Father's business? Rejected, disliked by all others. Where would be a prophet who was not persecuted? Where a man sent from God who was not stoned? And the world was not worthy of them, but they carried the precious seed. We have no place anywhere on earth, not in this club, not in an alliance, nowhere. We are not meant to be anywhere. We are meant to go out before the camp to bear the reproach of Christ, to proclaim the message of the hour. What we are called, this surely hurts us, but this most certainly doesn't matter in the end. The end will be crowned, and blessed are all who let themselves be called out and who don't look back anymore, who don't look back anymore, who do not say one day, oh, if I only had not heard that call, or if only I had stayed where I was, then everything would not have become so difficult as it is now. Yes, what do you want? Do you want to reach the goal? Then you must be ready to take difficulties upon yourself, to let everything come upon you. What does it say of Moses? He esteemed the reproach of Christ greater riches than to have the treasures of Egypt. For he saw and had the heavenly reward in focus. If you know in whom you believe, and if you believe that he keeps the entrusted goods to you until the end, and that he will keep you together with all the goods, yes, then don't look back, but look forward to Jesus Christ, the author and finisher of faith, and make a whole thing with your God. Not just half a thing, a whole thing, and say, Lord, here I am. I don't want to just walk along. I want to experience. I want to taste and see that the Lord is good. And we will taste. We have already tasted. We will see. We have already seen. He is good. He is faithful and of great kindness. We have to make the decision which way we want to walk and what goal we have in mind. Let us not murmur as others who murmured and who didn't reach the destination. You know, the people also came to Moses at that time and said, if only you had not led us out of Egypt. Now we have to suffer here and so forth. You all know the Holy Scripture. Who has led them out? Moses or God? God needed Moses as a mouthpiece, but God led the people of Israel out with an exalted hand and sent them his prophet who had to bring them the word. Do not murmur. Do not complain. Be thankful. Thankful that God has been gracious to us. Grateful that he has spoken to us in this time. Grateful that we can believe as the Scripture has said. Grateful also that we can place things biblically and simply say, Lord, here I am. Take me and make of me and with me what is pleasing to you. Have thine own way with thy people. No one who trusts the Lord will be put to shame. We trust him until the end, and he will bring it to pass to the glory of his name. Amen. Let us stand up and pray. We bow our heads, close our eyes, open our hearts. May gratitude be found within us, grateful that the Lord saved us, that he forgave us, that he has given us salvation by grace, that we have been given the right to become children of God, who are not born after the will of a man, not by the blood of man, but born of God, born of the Word, of the Spirit, born again unto a living hope, as a great privilege, having the birthright. Hallelujah. The birthright and the firstborn are under the blood of the Lamb. The firstborn are preserved. The enemy cannot touch their soul, their life. He can impose trials on our lives. He can make our path thorny and steep, but he may not touch our soul. All the firstborn, together with the firstborn, among many brethren, shall behold the presence of God. We have the certainty, not just faith, that it will be so. For it is written, here I am, and all whom God has given me. Faithful Lord, we know it. As in Adam all die, so in Christ all are made alive. Faithful God, you see the congregation, you see us all, gathered together like a little flock, from here and there, coming together, united under one head, under you, the head of the church. We believe that you walk in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks, that you have your way with your people, that you have sent a prophet who suddenly stood outside of every camp to call out in your name, by your word, all who are willing to bear the reproach of Christ. O God, who are not concerned with the glory of man, but with the glory of God. Beloved Lord, all who are called out follow in your footsteps. You too have been put out and said, we do not want that this one rule over us. Who is he? Whence has he wisdom? And so forth. Lord, thy people are gathered together in this place. According to the scripture, gather me, my people, all the faithful with whom I made the covenant by sacrifice, an everlasting covenant, a new covenant, a new life, a new testament in your blood, with your people, the first fruits, under the blood of the Lamb. Just and faithful are you, O Lord. And when the destruction angel rages through the land, so we may know by faith that the doorposts of our hearts are sprinkled with the blood of the Lamb, and that we are kept safe, not in ourselves or from ourselves, but by the grace of God, which has been given to us. Beloved Lord, our hearts overflow with praise and thanksgiving. We see clearly with anointed eyes how the word of prophecy is fulfilled. Lord, all the tears are being bundled. We see it. But your people are called out, beloved Lord. Before also in the east, all this bundling takes its course, you will take care for that the doors are opened for the proclamation of the last divine message that was entrusted to us. O Lord, thank you that we didn't add anything and have taken nothing away, but that we bring this pure, holy, divine revelation of the word to your people. And he who has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Faithful God, we are nothing, but you are everything. And we love your word and carry it in our hearts. May you place us into the last events of the plan of salvation, till everything falls into place, in order to do justice to the prophetic phase. So we too, as your people, would like to take our stand before you. Take away from us all infantile diseases. Take everything away what stands in the way of your Spirit. Lord, that also amongst us, the love of God and the peace of God is found. Lord, that all disagreements, all misunderstandings, which come from the devil anyway, that they all be removed, and that we all become one heart and one soul, so that you can reveal yourself. Lord, here we are, placing us consciously under the coverage of the blood of the Lamb, under the leading of your Spirit, and we submit under your word as you want to have it. Be merciful to us. Forgive everything, O Lord. Forgive our shortcomings. Cleanse from all spots, from all wrinkles. Wash us. Make us pure, whiter than the snow. And may you strengthen us anew and establish us, that we may no longer be tossed to and fro, but that we stand firm, anchored in the rock of salvation. Beloved Lord, you are building your church, and you will complete her unto the day of your return. Here we are as living stones. Place us into it so that you, as the capstone, can return, and that it fits together exactly. Bride and bridegroom, flesh from your flesh, bone from your bone, spirit from your spirit, word from your word. Here we are, Lord. We don't fit anywhere, in no organization, in no denomination. We don't fit anywhere. But Lord, you have a place for us. Hallelujah. And there we fit in. Praise be to you, the living God. And we want you, that you place us, and that you put us there where we belong. Take us and bless us from the riches of your grace. In Jesus' name, amen.